This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we are in a brand new series that started last week entitled Key Ingredients. Everybody real strong, say key ingredients. So this series is designed to teach us the things that are needed and necessary to create the life that God wants us to live. How many know that there's a specific way and a specific plan that God has for our lives? The Bible says that his ways are not our ways, or neither his thoughts ours, because his are higher than ours. So God says, I can never come down to your way of thinking. You have to come up to my way of thinking. I can never come down to your way of doing things. You have to come up to my way of doing things. And to the degree that we will explain and submit our will for his will and our way for his way, we will walk out God's plan for our lives. And I'm telling you, God's plan is the best plan. Now, today I want to talk. I'm going to give you one main ingredient. And then after I give you one main ingredient, as we go through, you're going to see we're going to throw some other ones in there because you have to with the way this lesson is made. And so the main ingredient that I want to talk to you today about is an ingredient that is very close and dear to Lady LeConte and my heart, is how we establish this ministry. And the key ingredient today is integrity. Everybody say integrity. Integrity is an unconditional commitment to godly principles without wavering, even under pressure. You have to make it up in your mind that no matter what comes or no matter what goes, that you're going to have an unconditional commitment to do it God's way. And you're not going to waver, even under pressure, even no matter what your friends are doing, your buddies are doing, no matter what's going on in this culture, no matter what they say is okay to do. You have to let all of that go and have an unconditional commitment that if I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results in my life. Amen? And so that's the key. Joshua, the first chapter, verse 8 and 9, really teaches us that. Moses is dead. Joshua's coming on the scene. The Spirit of God begins to teach, to talk to Joshua. And in verse 8, we'll pick it up. He says, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Now get ready, class. But thou shalt meditate therein how often? Good job. Day and night, that thou must observe to do according to all that is written therein. Watch this. For then thou, you Joshua, are going to make your way prosperous. And then you, Joshua, shall have good success. So you have to understand, living an incredible life is not totally up to God. He needs our permission and our participation for him to usher his will into our life. God has already done everything he needs to do to ensure that we live a quality life. He has already given his son Jesus, who has died and shed his blood and presented it back to the Father. He's now at the right hand of the throne of God interceding for us. So now heaven belongs to us if we'll just invite Jesus on the inside and live for him. You got it? He's also given us his word. I talked to you about the logos, and I talked to you about the rhema in the past few weeks. And if we'll take his word and apply it in our lives, watch this, we will get results. You got it? And so that's the key. He says, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so I've got to make it up in my mind that I'm going to do it God's way. Whenever you hear me talking about the good life, if you hear me say the word prosperous or say prosperity or just whatever, you got to understand that when I'm saying it, I'm talking about the total package. I'm not talking about just, you know, you rich and got a nice house. That's all good and fine, but I know a bunch of folks that's rich and got a nice house. They don't have any joy. They don't have any peace in their lives. So when I'm talking about living this good life, you know, John 10:10 says, it's the thief that comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I've come that you might have and might have it more abundantly. In the Amplified, it says, to the full till it overflows. This abundant life that I'm talking about, although it does include having nice stuff, it is way more than that. It is the total package of nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken in your life. So yes, we all need money so we can live, and I pray you have a whole lot of it. But I also need joy, and I also need peace, and I also need a good marriage, and I also need good relationships. I need my children to be doing well. I need my body to be healed. You got it? From the crown of my head to the soles of my feet. And I believe when you do it God's way, those are the things that come to you. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. All right. And so how many know that the real, we're talking about integrity now, the real you is exposed in pressure situations, right? And so you must make a calculated choice in life not to waver regardless of the opposition or deficits that you may face in life. You just have to have this commitment that I'm going to do it God's way. And you have to keep reminding yourself, if I do it his way, I'm going to get his results. Yeah, they're, you know, and because sometimes you'll see people that are unsaved and they don't even, they'll tell you they don't even believe in God, you know, and then they'll start, but you say, like, well, it seems like they're doing good. You got it. And that is why you have to understand that even people that live for the devil can do good. Isn't that right? Yeah. Even sin is pleasurable for a season. Isn't that right? Yeah. Is it so? But the Bible teaches to fret not because of evildoers. You got it? And so because the truth is, if they never come to the knowledge of Jesus and get themselves together, their end is destruction. Now, we don't want that for anybody, but that's the truth of God's word. I'm your pastor. I got to teach you the truth. Right? But if you understand that God has already made the way by giving you his son Jesus, who has already died and shed his blood, and all you got to do is just receive him and start living for him, then everything you've ever done is all pushed away. Watch this, and he is giving you new life. Does that make sense? But Pastor, I messed up last month. It's okay. His grace is sufficient. I messed up last week. It's okay. His grace is sufficient. Pastor, I messed up last night. Well, you are in the right place at the right time to hear the right word that's about to change your life forever. So you at the right place. Never run from God. Hello, somebody. When things aren't going right, run to God. Right? All right. So if we're going to really walk in integrity, the key is overcoming corruption. That's just the bottom line, you know, because there's so much corruption in this world. There's so much corruption in this world system, in this world's way. Even the culture that we live in now, you know, tells you this is how you ought to do life. And it's, you know, that you know, you have to be careful watching Instagram and all the influencers, and because all that is not real. Y'all do know that all that is not real, right? There's a lot of fakeness to that. And so I don't know a lot about all that stuff, but I do know a lot about this word. And if you will take this word and apply it in your life, it will give you a level of peace that you don't even understand. You could be going through some hellish situation, but if you walk in this word out, you're going to have some peace. Does that make sense? All right. So we're going to jump into it. I think you're going to really love this. A few things are going to be tight, but they're going to be right. But like always, Pastor just going to give you the truth and love, and I'm going to give you opportunity, and it's up to you what you do with it. Is that fair? All right. All right. Everybody say letter A. All right. The first thing you need to do is overcome the corruption from unwise assumptions. The corruption from unwise assumptions. This is simply the lack of trusting God's process. You have to learn how to trust God's process. Is there anybody besides me in the room that has ever gotten ahead of God, ever just wanting to be fast and quick? You got it, all of us, right? At some point in our lives, and we've learned that it doesn't work that way. Like we have to march, watch this, we have to go in line with what God wants to do in our lives. Understanding that everything is about God is a process. Things don't happen overnight, but they happen over time. It is in patience that we are to possess our souls. If you're going to get the gold watch, so to speak, in life, you're going to have to learn how to endure hardship as a good soldier. You're going to have to learn as a believer to learn how to take a licking and keep on ticking. You're going to have to learn how to bypass some things that everybody is doing and make it up in your mind that I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to live for Jesus. You got, like, there's some things that you're just going to have to make up your mind to do. You got it. And never assume that God doesn't know what he's doing just because things don't work out the way you think they should. Ooh, that was a mouthful. Did you hear what I said? Never assume that God doesn't know what he's doing just because something isn't working out the way you think it should, or as fast as you think it should, or those kind of things. Remember, his ways are not our ways. And sometimes, if we be honest, we get ourselves in stuff that we want him to hurry up and get us out of. Right? And so you have to be willing to go through process. And an assumption, never assume anything about God. Always find out what he says, because he'll tell you in his word. So with God, he makes it black and white. You don't ever have to assume anything. He is Jehovah Rophika, the Lord thy God that healeth thee. You got it? He makes it plain and clear. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is Jehovah Nisi, you know, your banner of love and protection. So never assume, because assumptions are the lowest form of knowledge. So we don't ever want to assume. Abraham assumed that God didn't know what he was doing or needed some help after he had made a promise that he was going to be the father of many nations. And his wife, Sarah, you know, was old and her womb was shut up and those kind of things. And so Abraham, who was Abram at the time, I guess he figured he was going to help God out. So he figured, well, I'll just go into her handmaiden Hagar, you know, so I can be the father of many. But that was not God's plan. Right. And so we have to understand that God really doesn't need us to get involved in his plan as it relates to how it's going to be done. He just needs our permission and our participation. Watch this, to execute his plan in our lives. So even you were like, man, I'm leaving this job as of January. I'm gone. And then the Lord tells you, no, stay. What you gonna do? You understand what I'm saying? Well, I don't want to stay, and I don't want, you know. And if you're not careful, your emotions will take you someplace. Watch this, that God's not. And I don't know about you, but I want to be wherever God is. Where he is, that's where I want to be. Isn't that right? All right. Everybody say letter B. Letter B, corruptions from unyielded anger. And we got to talk about this because, but this is a strong one. And let me tell you something. There are some people that are angry because some legitimate things happened to them that should have never happened to them. Absolutely. So I'm not making light of situations that we go through and anger that, you know, shows up in our lives. Some people are still angry because, you know, somebody walked out on them, whether it was a spouse or whether it was a father or a mother. And those things are real. So I'm not knocking you, but in love, I'm telling you that you can get over it. Do you got it? Because the enemy is picking your pocket every day that you decide to stay angry and stay mad and stay resentful because of something that maybe really did happen to you that shouldn't have happened to you. And so this is where you have to trust God's plan for forgiveness. You got it? And sometimes you have to learn to forgive people that you've never met and that you might never will ever meet. I think I said that right. So sometimes you might have to forgive people who will never apologize, but you have to trust God's plan for forgiveness in your life. And when it comes to being angry, the Bible teaches us how to handle it. Ephesians 4 and 26, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It says, when angry, all right, class, you're going to give me those next three words after I say it. When angry, do not sin. Do not ever let your wrath, your exasperation, your fury, or your indignation last until the sun goes down. You have to make it up in your mind that I'm not going to bed angry. I'm not going to bed mad. Years ago, Lady LaConte and I, we made up in our minds, being married and married when we, 21, I had a lot to learn. I was a good person. I loved God, but I didn't know exactly how to be a husband. She didn't know exactly how to be a wife. So there's things I did that aggravated her. Praise the Lord. There's probably still some things today I do that aggravate her. Praise the Lord. Not me, not pastor. But anyways, we have made a commitment that even if we do, which thank God we really don't get upset with each other a lot, and we praise the Lord for that, we're going to keep that thing riding, you understand? But watch this, but even if there's something that I do that upsets her or she does that upsets me, we have learned to let it go right away. Because we look at our life and what God has done and understand that is the enemy that's just trying to stick his head in. And we're not going to let him pick his pocket of the amazing life that God has blessed us with because we've done everything together. So now we're not all of a sudden going to be at odds and start trying to do things apart when the way we got here was we got here together. You got it? I know it's Pastor's Appreciation Month. You got it? And quote unquote on paper, I be's the senior pastor. But let me help you. There would be no Without Limits Christian Center without Lady LaConte, because James McIver and LaConte McIver are one. You got it? You know, and I don't fight with people. Theologically, I don't care what you say. Bruh, man wasn't coming to New Bern without his lady. Come on, somebody. And there's something I bring to the table, but there's something that she brings to the table. And when we get together in faith and pray over you and pray over this ministry, and then watch this, and the creative ideas that God gives me for my lessons, and the creative ideas that God gives her for worship or for all these screens or for all this kind of stuff, and our team that we have, you have to understand, when we put it all together, that's what makes it work. Does that make sense? Yeah, and so you got to... So me and Lady, we ain't going to bed mad. I don't even believe in that. I'm not getting into bed if I'm mad. I want to get into bed happy and get out the bed happy. Can I get up? And I'm like Forrest Gump. That's all I have to say about that. So let's talk about this anger, because it's real important, because there's people that have carried anger for a long time, and I know that it's real. You've got to understand, anger unchecked can cause you to make some really, really bad decisions. And sometimes there's people that have made bad decisions for months or maybe even years because they walk in anger, not realizing that I got to trust God's plan for forgiveness and I got to let it go. See, anger unchecked can even come with suicidal or homicidal thoughts. But I need you to know, number one, that those are not your thoughts. All right? Jonah, out of his anger, said, go ahead and kill me. But Jonah didn't mean that. That was a thought from the enemy. Right. Job's wife, in her anger, told Job, who was a devout man, go ahead and just curse God and die. That wasn't really her thought. That was just a thought from the enemy. And I'm here to tell you, if you have any thoughts that have ever tried to come to your mind like that, number one, that was not your thought. You got to take that thought and you got to cast it down. The Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the name and the knowledge of God. Watch this. And bringing every thought, every one of them, captive to the obedience of Christ, all right? Because if you're not careful, you'll try to say, well, because I have these thoughts, now, this is my problem, and that's my problem, and that's my, and if you're not careful, you'll dig a deep hole, watch this, that'll take you a long time to get out of. I'm not saying you haven't went through some things. I'm not saying some things that haven't helped you. And I believe in things like professional counseling. I believe in all of that. But above all of that, I believe in the blood of Jesus. I believe in the healing power of Jesus. I believe that Jesus can heal your mind, your heart, your soul. I believe he can heal it all. Does that make sense? But I believe in the natural and the spiritual. You know, I just prayed for the young lady. She's going to have surgery. Nothing wrong with that. I believe he's Jehovah Rofika. Sometimes, you know, healing virtue will just flow through and you'll get healed. Sometimes you just take the medicine and you get healed. Sometimes, you know, you go and you do the surgery. It doesn't matter. As long as you stay in faith, healing is going to come. Does that make sense? You got to learn how to do it God's way. All right. So watch the anger thing. Trust God's plan for forgiveness. Before I move on to letter C, never make permanent decisions based on temporary emotions. Never make permanent decisions based on, and we've all done it. You know, well, most of us, you got it. And then we realize, man, I shouldn't have said that. I didn't really mean that, and those kind of things. And so the whole thing about revelation is when you know better, you do better. And right? All right. Y'all get anything out of this? All right. Everybody say letter C. Letter C is corruption from untamed affections. Untamed affection. This is when you don't trust God's plan for your fulfillment. You's married, but you got to have somebody on the side. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to look right at my iPad because I don't know nothing about nobody, all right? Or you single, you got it, and you just can't wait till you married. Not realizing that that's just a trick of the enemy. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and verse 3 and 4, he says, for this is the will of God. This is the what class? This is God's will for your life. Even your sanctification. The word sanctified simply just means to be set apart. And so when we come into the family of God, God calls us to be set apart. You got it? That he sets us apart for his will. You got it? And for his plan for our lives. And God has an incredible plan for every person in this this room and on the live. All right? And so he says that you should abstain from fornication. I don't think I need to break that down. I think everybody knows what fornication is. Praise the Lord. All right. Fornication. I've never heard of that word before. Okay. And so, but I think everybody knows what that word is. That every one of you, this is key, should know how to possess his or her vessel, as the case may be, in sanctification and in what class? Honor. You got it. And so that's why the Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the whole honor piece. It's watch this. It's the least you can do for God for everything that he's done for you. I mean, he woke us up this morning. He started us on our way. We got the activity of our limbs. The blood is running warm in our veins. Hello, somebody. He gives us strength to go to work. You got it? And I'm not saying you're going to be perfect because I'm not perfect. But what I'm saying is every day we wake up and we make a commitment that I'm going to give God my very best. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so we got to flee some of that stuff. You got to run, Forrest, run. You got it? Yeah. And because, you know, the devil, you know, it doesn't matter. See, we just think that the devil will get you in low points. The devil will get you on a high point. Life could be going good. You just got promotion. You got a bunch of money in the bank, brothers. And then, you know, here come, don't say no names. What's the name? Macaroni. I can't say Sister Spaghetti because she's saved. So Sister Spaghetti saved, yeah. And Brother Lasagna saved, so I can't use them. You got it. And, I could just say some little floozy. You understand what I'm saying? I guess I could say that. You know, come and try to smile at you, you know, and give you them dazzling eyes, you know, and, you know, them ain't real eyelashes, no ways. But anyways, you know, and try to make you, you know, feel good. You got it. When you got a woman at home that has been with you through thick and thin, been there with you when you ain't had nothing, you got to make it up in your mind, there is no way I'm going for little old floozy when I got me a good woman at the house who loves me and who takes care of me. Come on, somebody. And flip that around. You understand what I'm saying? Ladies, same thing. Because now, you know, now they're everybody bold. Everybody doing stuff. You got it? You know, and so you have to make it up in your mind, you got it, that I'm going to honor God. You got it? So you got to tame the wild man or woman, as the case may be, and trust God's plan for fulfillment in your life. 2 Peter, the first chapter and the third verse, watch this. Now let's break this down. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto what class? Life and godliness. So he's already given us everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All right? So he's already given us the knowledge we need. He's given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. All right? Verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Thank you for the promises that we find in his word, the Logos, and the promises, Rhema, that he'll speak right to your heart. So you got to understand, God has already given us everything that we need to live a victorious life, right? He says that, watch this, that by these ye might partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption, that's what we talked about. You got to get over this corruption that is in the world through what? So the Bible says that all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Typically, if we're going to mess up, it's through one of them doors. Like 99.9% of the time, if we're going to mess up, it's through the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life. And that's why you can't get caught up in this culture. That's why you can't get caught up in everything that you see, you know, and those kind of things. And, you know, and we have to just pray for, you know, our younger generations, because they're seeing all this stuff on Instagram, and I don't even know all those platforms. You got it? I have a Facebook and an Instagram, and I used to use it a lot for church, and now some days I don't use it at all. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, I think those platforms are good. Use them for the right thing, for family, for business. So I believe in all that. You got it? But you have to be careful, because, you know, our young generation will see people, on taking selfies. You got it? You know, holding, you know, I don't know what they drink nowadays. I don't know what they drink nowadays. Y'all don't know either, huh? Well, just whatever. You got it, and, you know, and then you're holding it up, and, you know, got the herbs between the two fingers. You understand what I'm saying? You know, talking about the good life. And if you're not careful, the young generation says, oh, that's it. And they standing next to a Bentley and ain't even theirs. You got it. They was at a restaurant, a nice restaurant, and saw it and figured they'd take a picture. And now the young generation says, oh, that's what I want. But you got to understand that that's not real. Now, God can cause you to live an incredible life, no doubt about it. And he can give you anything you want if you release your faith for it. But you got to do it God's way so you can get God results in your life. Let's keep reading. He says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, we said lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. Verse 5, and besides this, okay, besides everything that I already broke down, he says, there's a lot of things that I have done. He says, but now there's some things that you need to do. Watch what he says. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith what class? Virtue, that's morally good behavior or character, all right? And to your virtue, knowledge. Knowledge is understanding. Now, a lot of times when I give you if I say the word revelation, I give you the definition of the word revelation. It is simply an understanding of the word of God at your level of comprehension that brings a conviction and a clarity to live differently. And so I, pastor and lady, you know, we teach the word of God in a way that you can understand it and you can apply it in your life right away. Does that make sense? Okay, now let's keep reading because I need you to keep rolling with me. Verse 6, here we go. And to knowledge what? Tempers. That's having restraints in your life. And we all need restraints in our lives. It's restraints in our lives that keep us straight. Come on, somebody. And to temperance? Patience. Patience is the ability to handle delay and remain in joy. We talked about process earlier. And to patience? Godliness. Godliness is conforming to God's way of doing things. He says, be ye holy, for I am holy. All right? And to godliness, brotherly kindness, which is selflessness and compassion. And to brotherly kindness, charity, which is generosity and love and helpfulness. In verse 8, watch this. He said, for if these things be where? In you. And what? Abound out of you, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. God, that is the will of God for your life, in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things, watch this, is blind and cannot see afar off. So sometimes I made the appeal earlier, and when I talked about rededication, because sometimes people that love God fall and they step away and those kind of things. If you notice, I say God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. God's not angry with you. And that's what we have to understand. So it has nothing to do with that. What happens is someone that lacks these things, the Bible teaches that they are blind and cannot see afar off because the situation that they're in, they can't see any better. But watch this. And the Bible says, and has forgotten that he or her were purged from their old sins, right? So that is why when you see somebody, you got it, that has fallen, you don't kick them even more. I got two that's right. That's why when you see somebody that has fallen in sin, that has made a mistake, that says, I don't want to live for Jesus no more, I'm going to go do what I want to do, that's why you have to show love. That's why, because with loving kindness have I drawn you. You got it? And watch this, because the Bible says that if a person is overtaken in a fault, you that are spiritual, go restore them in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself. And so when you see somebody down, don't kick them, but help them out. Can I get a... All right, God, I know how to get my own amens. Praise the Lord. Verse 10, watch this. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, what's going to happen? You shall never fall. You shall never fall. So you got to learn that if you do it God's way, you're going to get God results in your life. If you get to do it God's way, you're going to get God results in your life. Everybody say, if you had time, if you had time. Man, I got to get you out of here, but if I had time, I would go to letter D, and I would talk about corruption from unbridled ambitions. This is when you don't trust God's plan for promotion. This is when you feel that, you're upset because this person, I've been on the job, and how'd they get ahead of me, or even in the church. Thank God our church ain't like that. There ain't no hierarchy in this church. Ain't nobody battling for positions. You understand what I'm saying? We are all children of the Most High God. Up in here. You got it? And so the key is learning to walk in humility and understand that promotion doesn't come from man, but promotion comes from God. And if you will just do it God's way, he will promote you. 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. You got it? I was telling the 9 o'clock service that, anybody, any men of God that I've served in ministry, I've always served, you got it? I mean, like, given a thousand. You got it. I gave the story of my pastor, Pastor Taylor, served him for years, and I would do things like wash his trucks and in his wife's car, and I would cut grass, just trying to help. I got a key to the church because I was always there so early. One Sunday afternoon, because we had Sunday evening service, I always got to church early. I'd wait about 50 minutes because they basically got there about 10 minutes ahead of time, right? And so one Sunday, Pastor Taylor pulls up. He said, well, we might as well give you a key because you're here. Well, when I got the key, I didn't think I was somebody. I walked in and I noticed that there was some grass in the breezeway. So I went and I got the vacuum and, you know, and I vacuumed. I would check the bathrooms. I would do things. I became his armor bearer. I didn't feel like I was bigger than anybody because I was his armor bearer. You understand? You know, he didn't leave much on Sundays, but the few times he would let me preach. And then when I would get up and preach, I would always give honor to him and say, hey, everything's going to happen just as Pastor Taylor was here. Because I learned years ago that if you make a blessing, you will miss a blessing, and the one you miss will be greater than the one you made. I remember preaching one Sunday for Pastor Taylor. This is probably 1999 or so, 98, 99. He was gone for something, maybe a cruise with Dr. Price or something, and I was preaching, and I remember this one guy came up to me. He put his hand on me. He said, man, what are you doing here? I said, what are you talking about? He's like, man, the anointing's on your life. You don't need to be sitting. See, you need to watch out for people like that. You need to watch out for people like that. Immediately, the Holy Spirit said, don't pay no more attention to him. You got it. Don't pay no more attention to him. And he was like, you know, imagine I had listened to him and tried to go and start a ministry. I'd have been about 10 years too early and fell flat on my face. But because I went through the process and did, well, I never actually really wanted the pastor, to be very honest with y'all. But since this is what God wanted us to do, we came and we did it. You understand? You know, and of course, we're glad that we did it. We love what we do. You got it. But you have to understand that if you make a blessing, I think this is a good place to go home, you will miss a blessing. And the one you miss will be greater than the one you made. Quit trying to make a way for yourself. Let God make the way. Quit trying to open a door for yourself and let God open the door. Sometimes you got to just learn how to stand still and just say, God, whatever your will is for my life, that's what I want. So I'm not kicking down any doors. I'm going to let God kick the doors down for me. You got it? We live in this fast-paced society where we want it our way, right away, right now. And most of the time, that leads to destruction in our lives. Heads are bowed, eyes closed, believers are praying all over the building. But I want to offer you some simple advice today. Just learn to slow down. Just learn to do it God's way. Just learn not to be so fast. Can I go a little further? Sometimes, brothers, we just need to stop and listen to our wives. Sometimes I think we forget how much wisdom they have and that God has given them to help us, to be our helpmates. And sometimes in certain situations, they know more than we do in that situation. So sometimes we just need not to be so fast. Holy Spirit just put that in my heart. It just dropped, didn't say it at the 9 o'clock, so I know it was for today. And in doing that, brother, you got to let go of your pride because it's not about that. If you were to ever see me and Lady behind closed doors, you would see Pastor don't walk around like he's the man, he runs her. But I very much walk together. That we are one and we make decisions together. We win together. We plan together. We accomplish things together. And so I don't know who it is. Don't really matter. Don't need you to come up to the front. And actually, I think this is advice that every brother in the room can take. Just listen to your wife. Because she's praying when you don't know she's praying. She's interceding when you don't know that she's interceding. And she's carrying things that you don't know that she's carrying. Father, I thank you for your goodness in our lives. I thank you for the word. We know that the grass withers and the flower fades. But your word, oh Lord, it stands forever. And so I stand in faith with all my brothers and my sisters in this room. You know them name by name and situation by situation. So it's with great confidence that I know that you are meeting them at the point of their need. And so I thank you for hope being restored. I thank you for joy being restored. I thank you that the person that needs to find their way finds their way. I thank you that the person that needs to just to totally surrender to you makes the decision today that that's it, forget it. I'm totally surrendering to God everything. I'm going to do it his way. And I promise if you do it his way, you're going to get his results. in your life. I bind the hand of the enemy and everything that's not like God that tries to come and attack you in your mind and in your emotions. Satan, the Lord rebuke you right now, the authority of the name of Jesus. I call for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. I curse worry, I curse fear, I curse stress, I curse anxiety in the name of Jesus. I curse suicidal thoughts in the name of Jesus. I declare those are not your thoughts. I declare that is not your portion. And as I declare, as of today, there's going to be a renewing, there's going to be a refreshing, and that God is doing some brand new things in your life today in Jesus' name. That you're not going to walk out of here the same way that you came. That we don't have church just because it's Sunday. We come to church so we can have an encounter with God, so we can be changed for the better. And I declare that when every one of us walks out of here today, we are all changing for the better. I thank you for it. I give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can you give the Lord a big hand all over the building?